You have been blessed with a counsel of wisdom. You're going to hear different stories and anecdotes and maybe personal wisdom that these dear brothers and sisters have graciously said they're happy to share. So what we're going to do is just to have it more rapid fire. I'm not going to try to interrupt very much on this one. Is how many mics do we have? Two? Okay. So what we'll do is, Alan, you started at the end, and we're going to try to be, again, as brief as possible so we give everyone a chance to speak. But I'm going to ask the question and basically just go down the line and pass the mic to the next person or whoever's closest to you. So just address your name, what do you do for work, and how long have you been in your present job or career?
Alan Williams. I'm a mechanical engineer, engineering manager. I've been in my employer for 32 years.
Chris Reibel. I am work for Arvest Bank. My title is business banking manager. I have been in banking for 36 years in that in this specific position, probably about 8 or 9.
I'm Susan Hannon. I teach sixth grade social studies, and I've been certified for 36 years, but I've been actually doing it for 24.
I'm Michelle, and I am a school counselor. I've been in that job for 34 years, and I was a teacher 6 years before that, so 40 years in education.
I'm Charlie Hartsfield. I'm a dentist. I was active dentist in 45 years of fixing teeth. That's a long time, guys. That's a lot of teeth. But I retired about 5 years ago, so that's me.
John Lax. I retired about 10 years ago now. My job prior to retirement had been VP of Global Technology for International Justice Mission, and it was just a total gift of God to be able to work in an organization like that, where we prayed individually and collectively twice a day, and that was all funded in what we did.
My name is Les Lester, and I'm a plumber. I've been in the plumbing industry for 40 years. 8 of it, I worked for someone else. In the last 32, I've been in business for myself.
I'm Tom Chain. I work with Mercy Orthopedics. I've been practicing medicine for 44 years. I'm about to complete my 37th year with the orthopedic group.
So. I'm Krista Hinton, and I've been in education 22 years.
Share briefly with everyone, what led you to get into this job or this career path? You know, go back to your teenage years, think back, you do the math for whatever that is for you guys. And, you know, just did you envision doing this when you were 14, 15, 16, 17, 18? Is it exactly what felt like I was born to do this, I wanted to do this, and that's exactly what I did? Or was there a whole different way the Lord took you? So how did you get led into this? Was this something you were already thinking you would be doing when you were in your teenage years?
Yeah, I guess in high school, just, you know, thinking toward college, it was, what would I be studying in college? I had a bent toward science, just interest in how things were made. And so I knew the engineering field was what I wanted to do. I didn't specifically know mechanical or civil. Those were my two thoughts going into college. And I did a couple of internships in the summer with the highway department, narrowed down that I didn't want to do civil. So I went mechanical, not even really knowing what all that entailed, just that I really had no one to counsel me, give me much guidance, actually. So went into it somewhat blind, but just knowing that that's what I desired. And so finished school and jumped into really the first job offer, which happened to be in the manufacturing world. So that's how I ended up there.
Well, I was 18, clueless, right out of high school, and a buddy of mine who worked at the time it was Superior Federal Bank, he was working there part-time over the summer, and he was leaving to go off to college. And so he asked me, hey, you're looking, you know, for a job? And he worked in the mailroom at the time, and so he was leaving, and I got the opportunity to apply for the job at the bank in the mailroom. And so I got it, and that's how I got into banking. And did I want to get into banking? I had no, I didn't have a clue. It just kind of stuck with me. But during high school, I was taking, you know, a lot of business classes. So this was about the lowest position you can get in a bank, and that's how I got my foot in the door. And yeah, they're still hanging on to me.
All I ever wanted to be was a wife and a mother, and I loved kids, and so I graduated in 1985, and so it was kind of just everybody was expected to, you know, you graduated from high school and you go to college, and so even though I wanted to be a wife and a mother and stay home with my kids, I thought, well, if I go to school to be a teacher, then I could be home with my kids and in the summers and on breaks and everything. So that's what I did, kind of more or less as an insurance policy, just in case something ever happened to my husband. And I found myself, after 15 and a half years, having to get a divorce. And so I had kept my certification up, and I went back to teaching school. I taught 1 year. And then I started having kids, stayed home for 12. So thankfully, the Lord had put that on my heart, and he provided for me so that I could provide for my children until I met Jeff.
Let's see. When I first went off to college, I wanted to be a geologist, if you can imagine. And then I found out you had to go camping, roughing it, camping. For a week in this class, and I said that was the end of my geology degree. I don't rough it, I do the Holiday Inn, even now, or wherever, just not in the woods with no potty. That's not happening. And so then just kind of lost and clueless and kind of just, I don't know, God just put it, it just fell in my lap, and I like kids and whatever. So I became a teacher, and for 6 years, for 4 years, I thought that's what I wanted to do. And then I realized kids needed a whole lot more than what I could give them in a classroom. So, so I looked into getting my counseling degree. So that's kind of how all that came about.
Okay, Blake, this was your idea. I thought about you all afternoon. If somebody said to you on Sunday morning, we want your sermon squeezed into 10 minutes, what would you do? Man, but anyway, you know, we all have different stories. I was born in a long time ago, and my dad was a dental technician, so when I popped out, he said, it's a boy, no, it's a dentist, and so that was just the way it was going to be. And a long story, I could tell you, if we had an hour, you and I at lunch, I've told you some of these things, but, you know, I turned, you know, that was just my goal when I was 18, quitting and down to be a dentist. So I went to college and worked hard and studied hard, went to dental school, quit dental school. Halfway through dental school, I'm burned, I'm tired, I don't want to do this. And so I got out. I was out for 6 years, and a lot of really important things happened in my life. These forks in the road that I was pushed this way and that way, and part of it's looking at my sweet wife back there, that there's a lot of things happened. But after 6 or 7 years, I decided I do want to go back, but I went back on my own thinking. I had given up a good thing. I didn't fail. I just quit. But they took me back, which was fortunate because it's hard to get in. So, but to say that I grew up knowing I wanted to be a dentist, I had to turn 27, 28 and have a whole lot of bumps in the road. And I went back to dental school. And during that time, Adrian Rogers got a hold of me. And I came to the Lord when I was 28, 29 years old, which was dramatic. And then met Becky. And so I can't give a short answer to this. These are important questions. It's hard to narrow it down. So much has happened over these years. But I look back now. I'm in California. I'm looking back across America and all the dead people by the poison water holes and all the bumps in the road that we've all, some of you are in it, and I'm on the other end of it. So can't give a short answer, but I'm thankful to the Lord for we provided it. It was hard work. And Cindy, are you here? She asked me this morning, you know those two crowns you did for me? Did you do such and such and such? I said, Cindy, that was 15 years ago. How am I supposed to? I couldn't believe she walked up to ask you that. That's got nothing to do with what we're doing tonight, but she's not here. But I can't give short answers real good here.
But folks can get lunch with you.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, you might be amazed to know that, you know, me who likes setting fire to lawns and things like that, I actually wanted to be a nuclear scientist. And unfortunately, that involved working hard at school. And I didn't like working hard at school. And to all you kids that are listening, don't make that mistake. Make sure you work hard. But I had the opportunity to go to a local college who was putting on a night school class on computing. This was totally new in those days. And in fact, you know, the computer was full of valves or vacuum tubes. Vacuum tubes in the US, and did a little bit of programming, but really decided I liked it. But then my failure to study hard caught up with me, and we have to do exams called A-levels to get into college, and I blew mine, but I managed to find a college that had a computer science degree. And so was able to go there and really enjoy my time with computers and still enjoy my time with computers. I'm very fortunate. Oh, I enjoy time with my wife as well.
Well, I went off to college when I was 18. I had a voice scholarship and I was going to sing, but I hated school and I was lazy. And so I left school, and I've done carpentry and all kinds of stuff, but I went into EMS. I loved the job, but I just couldn't make any money. And so because of money is really the reason I left and got into plumbing. One of the nurses helped me get a plumbing job, and here I am 40 years later. Not because I love plumbing, and I never would have dreamed that I was going to be a plumber someday. But too close to the end to change now.
When I was a junior in high school, if you've ever heard my testimony, I lost my dad to cancer. He went through his illness for about a year and a half before he died. And his illness and being around medicine and somebody suffering had a lot to do, I think, with the Lord directing me to where he wanted me to be. Also, God had given me really more gifts in science and that type of thing, and an interest and a passion. I didn't enjoy a lot of other classes I took in high school, but I really enjoyed my biology class, and then I took an elective physiology class. And so God was, I think, directing me in those ways. The last day, conscious day of my dad's life was my 17th birthday, and we got up that morning, he gave me a Bible for my birthday present, and on the inside of the cover, he put Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He knew he was about to die. And so leaning on that verse for the next few years, I think that helped guide me. I had a couple of temptations to go in other directions after I had been accepted to medical school. But I really believe the Lord wanted me to go into medicine, and so I went ahead and pursued going to medical school. But that's the way the Lord led me.
I don't know how I ended up with it. I actually started out as a business major in college and found out very quickly that was not my thing. My dad's a CPA, and it was kind of an expected thing that you go to college and you earn a business degree and work for me. And I love my dad. I'm a daddy's girl. But I wanted to be a teacher. And so I graduated in 93 with my general ed degree. I had a hard time getting a job. first out of college, and I went back to night school and got my income tax certification, and I ended up working for my dad anyway. But it was a very sweet time, and I'm very thankful for it. And for 6 years, I worked in business, and then I had Luke and stayed home for 3 years and did accounting work from home, and then I went back into education when he was three. And so for 15 years, I worked in preschool work. I got a master's at 45 in curriculum and instruction, and I love teaching, and I know that that's where I am meant to be. Now, interestingly, I did not become a Christian until I was in my 40s. I just celebrated my 9th birthday, and I'm a completely different person than I was. I know that's a later on question, but thinking about what God wanted me to do was not in the forefront of my thinking then. But I'm very thankful because I get to live every day in front of kids that most of them don't lead lives of a Christian home. And so I'm very thankful in that the Lord has led me that way. And I just am so grateful that that's where I have ended. I've done a lot of different jobs in education, but I teach at Chaffin right now. Matt Litchford is one of my coworkers, wherever he's gone to. It's just it's a blessing.
We'll just do a few more questions so I can open it up for the congregation. And I guess, are the mics down? Oh, we got down here too? Finally. What do you find most meaningful about your work? Some sense of satisfaction. You know, the scripture does talk about a sense of pleasure and satisfaction from the labors of your hands. And then really you can just kind of dovetail it into how have you applied your Christian worldview to your job? So your example, your convictions, your beliefs, your influence, your witness, how has Christianity, how has following Christ looked in the workplace for you? So what do you find most meaningful about your job, satisfying, and how has your Christian witness been applied to your vocation?
Well, I work in manufacturing, and it's a high-stress environment. And so just to my Christian witness, I think that the Lord has shown me over the years as I rose up into management, just being able to react differently than my coworkers, react differently to the stress that the daily work brings, became at times an opportunity to speak specifically to it, just like we've talked this morning about give a reason for the hope that's within you. Give a reason for why you're reacting different. You're not pulling your hair out and going crazy where everybody else is. Well, it's because of Christ in me. And so I've had those opportunities over the years, and so I'm thankful for that. There's the satisfying part of work. There's a lot of days where I go, wow, why am I doing this? Because of the stress. But the creative side of it, as an engineer, I've had opportunity to do some creative things. We're making widgets, in a sense. But having the opportunity to solve problems creatively and help teach others how to do that has been very satisfying for me in my career.
So part of all of my job really, I deal with small businesses. So whether it's a need for a loan or just advice or counsel or help, whatever the case may be, I get to use the skills I've learned to help other businesses, help other people. So I drive around town and I can say, well, yeah, I had a part in that business and helping others. And so there's a lot of that. A lot of it also is I've got two others, that I supervise. And so just passing along the knowledge that I've learned over the years and a lot of the mistakes that I've made over the years to help them learn and be better. So to help them, help their lives, help their families succeed. So in all of that, I think just dealing with people in kind of my mindset is I want to treat them how I want to be treated. So I try to be honest and straightforward with them. In dealing with small business, you get some folks that come in with some crazy ideas that that you just in the back of your mind, hey, this is not going to work. And just in a kind way, again, how I need correction too in my life. So it's trying to get them back on the track and helping them. So just a lot of kindness and patience and love and, you know, just trying to help others. And again, the success that they have is satisfying to me.
I'm going to back up just a little bit. When I, 22 years ago, when I got divorced, I had to go back into teaching, and I was very angry about it. I wanted to be a mom and a stay-at-home mom, and I didn't want someone else raising my kids, and my youngest at the time, Corbin, was just turning 3, and so I had to put him in daycare, and I was very, very angry, and I did not want to be a teacher. I didn't want to be anything but their mama. And so it took me about a year to be thankful for what the Lord had provided in my life. And as the years have gone by, I've become very grateful for what the Lord did in my life and where He put me, because He did put me in the classroom. And I love those kids that I teach. This year and last year, I've been teaching ancient world history, and it starts at the beginning of time and goes through Mesoamerica, and I get to teach about Abraham and Isaac and Moses. I'm about to teach about Jesus this week, and I love being able to do that because, I can legally do it. I'm not going to get fired for talking about the Lord. And everything that, you know, I teach about other religions too, but because those religions aren't my religion, I don't know as much about them. So they don't get all the in-depth thing. And I get to go back and compare and contrast to Christianity because that's my religion. And so the kids get exposed to Christianity through me, and I'm very thankful for that. How I've applied the my Christian worldview to my job. This year, I kind of went through a time of depression, and I up until I came to Ramsey 4 years ago, I was always very successful in the classroom, and I was the go-to teacher, and all of a sudden, I was having to have a coaching cycle, and my pride just welled up. I was just like, what do you mean? I'm going to have a coaching cycle? And where a coach was going to come, a curriculum coach was going to come in and watch me and help me. Well, my pride just took me to a place that I did not know was in me, and it wasn't pretty, and I'm not proud of it, and I cried every day of school for the first quarter. And finally, I was listening to, I was sewing a quilt for my new grandbaby, and I was listening to a book, and it was about the Dust Bowl of all things. But the Lord opened my eyes to my pride and showed me that I had so much to be thankful for and grateful for. And so I went into my principal and I apologized to her, and I told her that my pride had been the problem, and that I was sorry, and that I'd felt like I wasn't good enough, and it brought back feelings from when I was married before, and just never feeling like I was good enough. And being able to share that with her made a difference in our relationship, and it ended up being a good thing. And so it was a hard lesson, but I was thankful that the Lord revealed that to me and granted me repentance, and I was very thankful that I could share that with my coworkers, some who are not Christians, and my boss is a Christian. In fact, she was in my very first class, but I was thankful to be able to share that with her.
Okay, the most meaningful thing is getting to work with the kids, getting to help them through a hard time, to get to... I can't change their situation, but I sure can change their perspective on things sometimes and give them better coping skills and things to do in those situations. So that's the most meaningful thing for me. As far as sharing my faith, I get it in whenever I can. If they bring something up about church, I am on it. If they say anything, like if they're feeling bad, or if I know that they go to church, or they say something about God, you know, I'll bring in that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. God says that in the Bible. You know, so I try to put that in when I can, you know, when it's able. I have a young lady I'm working with now that she brought it up the other day, and so I even pulled out my phone and got the Bible and pointed to some scripture. So that was a great thing that I get to do every once in a while. So
in our office, we have posters on the wall. We played Christian music. I had a good staff. They knew that I was doing the right thing. Cindy got me in the hallway a while ago and asked me about something I did 20, 15 years ago. But the point is, and I gave her some detail about, God, this is nuts. She didn't care about all this. Finally, I said, listen, the Lord knew every little tiny thing I did in my microscope. I knew the Lord was watching, and if I did this instead of that. So we did the right thing in our office, and so that's been the blessing that we put forth and blessing to me, because people will see me now and say, well, we miss you. We wish you were there. So we had a Christian office, and it's not always easy work, but we did the right thing for people. And in my golden years, I'm grateful that I had that opportunity, and people knew that we were working for the Lord, and the Lord knew everything we did. And so it was never anything that we hid. So that's part of what it is.
So as part of my job, I got to travel to all our field offices around the world. And when I was doing that, they have their daily prayer times. And as the visiting person, I was able to do different devotionals for them that were, you know, encouraging for them, hopefully. At least that's what they told me afterwards. It was a great way to just go around literally a lot of countries and a lot of different people. But the most important thing to me from the time that I was there was going to visit my dad. He'd had a stroke quite a while ago, was pretty helpless in bed and couldn't speak very much. But he, as I came and was telling him a little bit about what I'd just been doing with IJM, he turned to me and said, I think God has been preparing you all these years for this job.
Well, probably what I love the most about my job is dealing with people. And probably what I dislike the most about my job is dealing with people. On the customer end, you know, I've had them cry, and I've hugged them and prayed with them. And I've been cussed out, and just, you can imagine. And you see a lot of people with no money, and you wish you could help them, but you can't work for free. And sometimes you do help them anyway. And I see people with just horrible attitudes, and you see everything. You're in everyone's homes. You see things that are just so sad, and you see things that are funny. On the employee end, that's very, very difficult because I struggle with stupid. And that's really, I know that sounds crazy, but, and it's, my wife has helped me through this, and I'm doing better than I used to, let's put it that way. It's hard for me, and I've struggled with it. It's hard for me to understand when people cannot do something that's so simple. But, you know, there's things that are simple for some of us that are not for others. Like, I can't operate a computer at all. And she's been my buffer. She's got to hear everything. You know, I come home at night, and I'm pretty blunt, as you can tell. And, you know, it's just difficult. I've had employees that have cried, and I've had them want to fight. And it's been a struggle through the years. But I can think of people that I've had to fire for, let's just say, stealing. And she always got on to me because my wife, that it took an act of God for me to fire someone. But all I could think about was their family, and I tried to help them learn. And I've had guys come back to me later after firing them, thanking me, you know, and call me 20 years later. And so, you know, there's some parts of it that are rewarding. Just dealing with people, it can be difficult. You know, Blake does it, and a lot of people here do it. And, you know, dealing with me, I'm sure, is difficult. But, you know, I'm just being honest with you about what I like about my job and what I don't like about it. And, you know, sharing my faith, I've had opportunities, and I have, and then sometimes you just have to listen to people. But usually with employees, you're around them for a long period of time, you get an opportunity sooner or later to talk to them.
Well, with my job, the meaningful part is just being able to help folks, and that's what I get the opportunity to try to do every day. Every 15 minutes or so, it's a new patient coming in with a different problem. Excuse me. Quite often, they come in with other burdens, and you can kind of sense that, and I've always tried to be aware of maybe what's going on in somebody's life other than their knee hurts or whatever. If we are all totally honest, we've missed hundreds of opportunities to share for Christ and just let it go by. And the older I've gotten, the more sensitive I've tried to be with that. I'm a stickler about staying on schedule and trying to not make people wait. I hate to make people wait. And so if somebody comes in and I feel like I need to share with them, there's a little bit of a hesitancy. Should I start into this conversation? But I've noticed over the years that every time I've done that, almost invariably, when I've spent an extra 15 minutes, I walk out and my nurse tells me, well, your next patient didn't show up. So God opens time for you when he gives you the opportunity to share with somebody. It's just a matter of being bold enough to do it. Oftentimes we don't do it, I think, because we fear what's the response going to be. I was thinking a minute ago, maybe it'd be easier to be a dentist because then they can't respond to you because they're... But at any rate, that's mine.
I guess the most meaningful thing about teaching is that I love that aha moment that kids have when they're struggling with a concept and it finally dawns on them. I also love that kids still, even in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, still want a hug. A lot of them need them, and they'll come to me, and I love that. I always tell them Miss Hinton never runs out of hugs and they're always free. You know, sometimes kids just need to know that somebody is in their corner. And so I love being able to be that. As far as sharing my faith, since I became a believer, my focus prior to becoming a Christian, and just very, very short, is that I was raised in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, was submerged in the whole Christian culture, but it was never personal. And through our time at Oak Cliff, and the Lord opened my eyes to the fact that I was not saved, and I became a believer January 6th, 2016. And since then, the Lord has changed my perspective on teaching. Prior to that, it was how high up the ladder can I go? How, you know, can I be this? Can I be that? Can I do this? Can I do that? And then my focus changed to, Lord, what do you want me to do in this job? And so I've been very, very thankful for that change and the Lord, the opportunities. When I was teaching in Lavaca, I had the opportunity to lead a Bible study for teachers after school. Once a week, we came together to pray, and we studied Pilgrim's Progress, and we just tried to encourage one another in the faith. Working in public education is can be a very daunting, especially if you are a believer. But the Lord will give us opportunities. That's one thing I like about teaching GATE, which is what I have right now. That's gifted and talented. We tend to talk about things and dig deeper into topics than they get to do in a normal classroom setting. And a lot of times the kids will say certain things, and I'll say, well, if you believe a secular worldview, then this is what you believe, and you've got to prove it to me. If you believe the biblical worldview, which I believe that is the truth, that God says this and this, And so I've been able to present God to a lot of kids through their own questions, and I've just been very fortunate in that.
And we want to be a church that immerses in relationships. I'm going to ask you guys on the floor, if any of these dear saints would like to follow back up with you and learn more about what you've learned in your vocation, are they allowed to do that? Great. Well, you've gotten their permission. You don't need mine to do that. A couple of things that they shared tonight that I just think could be encouraging for everyone as we think about these ideas of vocation, calling, work, etc. Number one, there are things they all enjoy about their job. And there are things, well, they don't enjoy about their job. That's normal. That's very normal. To look for a dream job where it just never has a problem, never have a bad day, that doesn't really exist. And so, though, as Krista shared and several others shared, you know, when you do become a Christian and you begin to see opportunities to bear witness to Christ, to love people well, to a job well done, it's actually very rewarding, and it makes work a lot more worthwhile and purposeful. And then I think one of the reasons I asked all of them to come is the tenure in their careers. Probably the number one challenge in counseling young people, and I'm about to enter into the dude stage of 40. You're not a young man, but you're not an old man, but you're just dude. Is a lot of young guys are either passive or indecisive. They're just all over the place. They don't commit, stay, persevere. Or young ladies can be the same way, feeling like I've got to find some kind of fulfillment, and then maybe we quit too soon, or we don't make a decision. And I think if you want to get some good wisdom with brothers and sisters who've been doing what they've been doing for at least 15, 20, 30, 40, long time, years, I think you will gain a lot of wisdom because perspective, looking in the rearview mirror, can be really helpful, especially when you're starting out on the road of your life. And there's obviously much wisdom in this room that you can reach out to others as well. So I hope tonight was encouraging. I hope it was clarifying, maybe even maybe making it a little more simple. But if you've got any follow-up questions or want to seek counsel or just talk more about this for your own life, come reach out to me, reach out to any of our members here on the panel, and we'd be happy to do that. So let's close our Lord's Day with prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. We pray you were honored. We pray your church was edified. We pray that conversations and relationships and building bridges would happen amidst us. Lord, we pray we would be a church that sees that what we do on Sunday is good, it's special, and it's needed, but our Christian life cannot stay between these four walls. It's got to be out in the workplace. It's got to be out in the homes. Regardless of what we do, Lord, it's our identity in Christ, which informs and impacts not only what we do, but how we do it and why we do it. Lord, give us a Christ-exalting view and a thankful heart of doing a job well and doing it for your glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.